it would be tonight. So kindly turn with me, please, to four scriptures. The first in the Gospel by Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23:2-3. And verse 39:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Second scripture, in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The third scripture in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The final scripture in the Gospel by John. John's Gospel, chapter 18. And reading verse 39:39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the King of the Jews? And they cried, then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Once again, the Lord will bless these scriptures. We trust tonight to the glory of His blessed Son. He died a king crucified to save a poor sinner like me. In these verses that we have read tonight, first of all, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and I'm sure, rather 23, I'm sure you observed the repetition of the word man, this man. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, this man has done nothing amiss. In our second scripture, in chapter 15, this man receiveth sinners. Hebrews chapter 10, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heaven. And our final scripture, not this man, but Barabbas. This man has done nothing amiss, the sinless man. This man receiveth sinners, the saving man. This man offered himself as a sacrifice, the sacrificial man. But the final scripture, not this man, the scorned man. There have been many great men in the Word of God. You remember it is recorded that Moses was very great in the eyes of the Egyptians. Job was the greatest man in all the East. Daniel was a man greatly beloved. But there never was a man like the Lord Jesus. No mortal can with him compare. Among the sons of men, fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. Here are three men on Mount Calvary. One said to the Lord Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us." And again we remember that they both railed on the Lord Jesus. But when one saw the love displayed at the cross, when the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," the other thief had a change of attitude. And he said to his friend, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing amiss." The sinless man. Oh, beloved friend, he was the impeccable one. In other words, he was the sinless one. In the Old Testament, Job longed for a day's man, one that could take the hand of God and the hand of the sinner and bring them into a happy relationship, a day's man. Isaiah the prophet says, "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." And in the 14th chapter of the book of Job, we read those words, "Who can bring a clean man out of an unclean thing?" The answer, God. When we have examined the maternal progenitors of the Lord in Matthew 1, an unclean background, and out of that unclean thing, there came in spotless purity the sinless man. He is impeccable, he is incomparable, and he is inimitable. And this man was struck down with condemnation, we indeed justly. And turning to the only Savior, he died a king crucified to save a poor sinner like me. And had those words been penned, that thief would have quoted those words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The sinless man, he who knew no sin, was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In our second scripture, we read, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." He's not interested in self-righteous people. He is only interested in sinners. And so tonight, friend, if you're here not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in you. He is interested in sinners. In North Carolina, in Pittsboro, home, there's a lady there called Queen Victoria Palmer. Queen Victoria Palmer. She was called after the great Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria one day asked her chaplain if it was possible to be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety. The chaplain answered, and listen carefully, "I know of no way that one could be absolutely sure." The chaplain of Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria Palmer in Pittsboro, North Carolina, her grandfather was an outstanding English evangelist by the name of John Townshend. He read the chaplain's quote in the court news. And this is what he wrote to the Queen. to Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects. With trembling hands, but love-filled heart, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure, even now, of our eternal life in the home Jesus went to prepare. I would ask Your Majesty to read the following passage of Scripture, John 3:16 and Romans 10 and 9. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept His finished work. Several days later, Townsend received this note from Queen Victoria. Your recent letter received, and I reply, which state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me, and trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Signed, Victoria Gwell. In our native city of Edinburgh, a few miles, there was a mill that made stationery for Queen Victoria, with a coat of arms and what have you. She was visiting Holyrood Palace and thought she would go out to this paper mill to see the production. The manager was taking her around the fairies departments, but there was one place and he was purposely veering her away. And she says, what's in that room? Well, they say, Your Majesty, you wouldn't like to see what is in that room. She says, I insist. He opened the door, and she almost fell back with a smell of filthy rags. They made the paper from rags, not from wood pulp, in that particular mill. Sometime later, the stationer arrived at Buckingham Palace, and she wrote to the manager of the mill, that was just like me. All my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. Now I'm washed white in the blood of the Lamb. This man receiveth sinners. One day, Benjamin Disraeli, Lord Beaconsfield, said to her, Your Majesty, what has been your greatest moment in life? She mentioned the day she put her trust in the Savior. But she says, my greatest moment is yet to come, when I take this crown of the British Empire and cast it at the feet of my blessed Lord Jesus. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He is the sinless man. He is the saving man. And he's still saving sinners. And tonight, if you're not saved, you can be saved before you leave this building. In our third scripture, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read there of this sacrificial man. This man, every priest standeth daily offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. On the night of the Exodus in the land of Egypt, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, 200,000 lambs were slaughtered to redeem 2 million people from the land of Egypt. Every priest standeth daily offering of them the same sacrifice that could never take away sin. Oceans of blood were shed through the centuries that could only postpone the inevitable judgment. But thank God there was a sacrifice. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens. Notice it was positive. This man. Tonight we can only point you to this man. Like the Apostle Peter, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's positive. Notice also it was perfect. One sacrifice for sin. Ne'er again will cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. When he died on Mount Calvary, heaven was satisfied. God said to him when he rose from the dead, as we have been hearing tonight, Son, I'm glad you're home. For the eternal God, 33 years was a long time. Welcome home. You sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Oh, much could be said about the sacrificial man, but I want to take you tonight to this final section. The scorned man. At the feast, you remember, of the Passover, one could be released. And so, a choice had to be made. Whom will I release unto you? What will you do with Jesus, your King? What will you then do with Jesus? Not this man. The greatest benefactor that the nation ever had. He fed their hungry. He raised their dead. He gave sight to the blind. He embraced their children. Not this man. You think things have changed in 1993? Not this man, but pride. We'll be sung tonight. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Pride had its origin in Satan. He sought to usurp the throat of Jehovah. I will take over. God says, thou shalt not. He injected the venom into our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Thou shalt be as God. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And of all the sins that are repugnant to the nostrils of a holy God, pride is one of the worst. Right. Remember the Pharisee. Oh, he dressed in long garments, made broad his phylacteries. He made long prayers in the streets. I fast. And I'm not as this poor old publican. The publican smote upon his breast and said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Who went down to his home justified? The proud Pharisee? No. The penitent sinner. It takes a real man and a real woman to get down to business and acknowledge their sin. Eradicate pride and come in absolute humility. My friend, God will never save a proud sinner. He will never bless a proud saint. And he'll never use a proud servant. He resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Not this man. Pride. not this man, but pleasure. Today there are millions worshipping at the shrine of pleasure, but not this man. Don't give us this man. Not this man, but possessions, pride, pleasure, possessions. I was preaching in Tenafly, New Jersey. A lady said to me, my brother-in-law, an ice cream magnate by the name of Tom Carville just sold his franchise for $80 million. I said to this dear lady, why don't you invite him out to the meeting and hear the word of God? She said, he is not interested in those things. A week later, I read in the newspaper he had died. $80 million. Not interested. Not this man, but possessions. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And notice, friend, it says here that they all said, not this man, but Barabbas. They would rather have the son of Abbas, Barabbas, than the Son of God. What about you? What about me? The greatest gift that was ever given was the giving of his son, the Son of God. Queen Victoria, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Son of God. Paul says, the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. Is there an ounce of gratitude in your heart? If there is, you'll say tonight, he died, a king crucified, to save a poor sinner like me. Not this man. They would rather have the son of Abbas than the Son of God. They would rather have a criminal than the Creator. How crazy can you be? And they all said, not this man, the lovely Lord Jesus, the perfect expression of love, not this man. My friend, tonight, let me say to you in all love, if you go out that door tonight and you're not saved, you're seeing in essence, not this man, but not this man. They would rather have a robber. That's what he says. He was a robber. They would rather have a robber than the Redeemer. That's the height of insanity. They would rather have one who would take away life. They would rather have a murderer than the Prince of Life. That's how wicked is the human heart. They would rather embrace a man that would take away life than the man who can give life. I gave unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God is ready to explode on his head or her head. And the great judgment day is coming, maybe tonight. We would rather have a murderer than the Prince of Life. Peter and the other disciples endorsed that he was the just one. And remember, Peter said that you selected and you crucified the just one. Oh, how wicked is the human heart. They would rather have the unjust one, Barabbas, than the just one, the Lord Jesus. He all said, they would rather have the wicked one, as one apostle quoted, they would rather have the wicked one than the Holy One. What about you? What about me? In essence, they are saying we would rather have Satan than the Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ cast those demons out of Legion, and they were choked in the Sea of Gennesaret as they entered the swine, they said to this man, depart from our coast. They would rather have hog flesh than God manifest in the flesh. In essence, they were saying, we would rather have the man in chains and controlled by demons and Satan than you. And that's the attitude of men and women today and mature boys and girls. In many places, they would rather have Satan than the Savior. I was having meetings in my home assembly. My daughter invited a nurse who worked with her to come to the meeting. Her name was Eileen. The next day she called me. She said, Mr. Dougal, I'd like to talk to you. I said, by all means, come along. And she came to our home. She said, Mr. Dougal, you'll never know what my intention was to come to that meeting yesterday. I am a worshipper of Satan. But when you spoke on the cross of the Lord Jesus, the place of the cross, the pain of the cross, the power of the cross, I couldn't move. And I regret what my intention was. I wanted to get saved. And I pointed that dear girl to the Lord that day in our home. She turned her back upon Satan and his things, and she embraced the only Savior of sinners. Not this man, but Barabbas. He would rather have hell than heaven. And the Lord took them at their word. His blood be upon us and our children. And there's no nation under the blue canopy of heaven that has suffered like the Hebrew nation. 6 million at the hand of Karl Adolf Eichmann in Germany in World War II, 6 million. And friend, that will be a picnic compared with what lies ahead for a nation that rejected the Lord Jesus. The awful dimension of judgment is yet to come when all nations will gather round Jerusalem for the point of annihilating this hated nation, the Jewish nation. They can't turn to the United States because they'll be involved, according to the Bible, all nations. They can't turn to the United Nations. Here they're shut up to judgment, to persecution, and apparent annihilation when suddenly he appears. They can't look around, but they can look up. And out he comes, riding upon his horse. What are these wounds in thy hand? These are those which I received in the house of my friend. Not this man, but Barabbas. Thank God there will be a remnant saved. And they'll cry, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. As I close, my friend, let me appeal to you right now. Will you go out that door if you're not saved and say, as he is here, I don't want you. Not this man. How could you ever treat one who has done so much for you in this despicable way? I tell you right now, if the Lord Jesus Christ came in through that door in bodily form, there'd be a stampede, to fall at his feet and kiss him for all that he's done for us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. So unsafe friend in the gathering tonight, get down to business. Don't be like these all said, not this man. But you be able to say tonight, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. May it be so. For his name's sake shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee again for the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee he is the impeccable, the incomparable, the inimitable one. No one like my Savior. Oh, Father, we pray tonight. If there be any here in this gathering still without Christ, they will not leave the building until they say, Jesus, for me. Lord Jesus, give me this life. Lord Jesus, prepare me for glory. Take care of thy word, we pray. And we ask that the Sovereign Spirit will strive and bring sinners to the Savior, that he might be glorified, that we thy children might be encouraged, and souls delivered from going down to hell. Undertake, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Number 268. 268. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears.
Lord, I'm coming home. 268, if there's anyone here and you have a question or would like some help, we can't save you, but again, we know the man who can. You can go to your home, into the apartment, whatever. Whatever you do, don't leave the building and say, not this man. 268, and the meeting will be over.